Hello, it is January 18th, 2016. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 543 of the Will Leach Experience Podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. Welcome back. We have not talked with Allison Futter for a very long time. We are going to change that right now. Allison Futter and I are back for our first baseball podcast of 2016, and here it is. Allison, welcome back. The people have called. The people have beckoned. They are wondering where we were, and we have returned. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Actually, it's past the date where you're actually allowed to say that, but that's okay. I'll let it slide. I actually do feel like all is right in the world again since we're doing these. It's kind of weird. Like, you know, like you have this holiday break, and then you try to like ease your way back into the swing of work, but it doesn't really work that way in baseball because like 2 days later, it's the Hall of Fame announcement and things just don't slow down from there. But we haven't done one of these since the first of the year. So this makes me very happy.
Of course. And for the record, it's my belief that you can say New Year's Eve, Happy New Year all year, because I didn't know you for the first 20 some odd 25 years of your life. So I'm still calling, I'm on like New Year's 1987.
What do you mean you didn't know me for the first 25 years of my life? You didn't know me for like the first 39 years of my life. Or are you just trying to like hide my age?
I knew people. I was following. No, okay, that's not true. I'm just tossing out years. The point is that I'm getting caught up on New Year's. Happy New Year. See,
Happy New Year.
There went 87. Happy New Year. There went 88. So there we go. Well, it's good to be back chatting with you. You just went on one of those fun trip things.
I did.
You're always doing this. Where'd you go?
No, this was like a last minute assignment. So I went to Puerto Rico. Major League Baseball for 3 years in a row now has held a showcase in Puerto Rico, basically just organizing a 3-day workout kind of audition for young Puerto Rican players who could be subject to, or who will be eligible for the draft. And they basically give a landing spot so that the scouts have an easy time being able to find them and watching them. So it was very cool. These kids are 16, 17, 18 years old. And the first day was like a pro style workout. So, and you know, this is all new to me. I was asking the scouts all really stupid questions. I know they're probably laughing at me, but this is not my, as you know, not my area of expertise. So basically the day started where just like, you know, 50 scouts and me standing on the field.
So you're the only reporter there, really?
Yeah, yeah. Keith Law came either later that day or the next day. But yes, that first day was the only reporter. And the only, like, completely, like, freckly pale redhead who was trying to run from the sun. I had this huge hat on. It was really funny. But so you just, like, stand there on the field. It's in Calle, Puerto Rico at this baseball stadium. It's a very cool stadium. And the kids run a 60-yard dash, and all the scouts are out there with their stopwatches. And the scouts, by the way, are wonderful. They, you know, a couple noticed that I really probably need a little help, and they, you know, introduced themselves and let me follow them around. So it was great. And then, you know, they just did sort of a normal workout where they took infield, and there were, you know, outfielders out there making throws. And then they had like 18 rounds of batting practice, and then they played one game on Wednesday, and then on Thursday and Friday they had a doubleheader each day. And so there's one kid down there who's like number 10 on the MLB pipeline prospect list, Delvin Perez. So he could go in the first round. And it's so funny because, you know, to the untrained eye, you're watching a lot of, like, they're literally children, and you're watching them playing baseball, and they're all, you know, built differently, but they're skinny, and they're still, you know, kind of gawky, and, you know, but, you know, pretty decent players, and they can throw, and they can hit. And then you get the one who's, like, the prospect that could actually make the major league someday. And not saying that he's the only one, because there are probably about 6, 7, 8 guys that, like, I could legitimately see having a, you know, a future in professional baseball, but this one kid, and he just, it's so different watching him field a ball, make a throw, hit a ball. And it was a real pleasure just seeing him, up close. And, you know, he's a 6'3" Puerto Rican shortstop. So, you know, that everyone's right. Thinking Carlos Correa, and the comparisons have already started. I would say that defensively and speed wise, he is right up there. But we all have to be very cautious because, you know, nobody knows if he's going to be able to hit. And that's why it's, you know, expectations are a little bit tempered. But I interviewed him through an interpreter, of course, and he's a very nice, charming guy, and he would be great from a marketing standpoint, which I'm always thinking of. But it was a very cool experience, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do
And you have been at a baseball stadium, and not baseball stadium, but a baseball field. You've been in a baseball field. You've been out watching people play baseball. The rest of us, even here in Athens, we're freezing. So the rest of us, that in Iowa, they're buried under snow. It's miserable everywhere. You physically watched people play baseball.
It was I mean, it's a long day, and you're sitting in the stands, and there's like basically scouts and parents in the stands of this pretty nice size baseball stadium. It's like kind of a minor league, it reminded me of like a spring training stadium. And yes, but they were playing baseball, and it was very cool just to see the dynamic between the coaches, the organizers, the kids. I mean, they're out there and they're just playing their hearts out. I asked one of the scouts, how hard is it to sort of, gauge like what kind of player they are, because they all have to be going 100 miles an hour right now. I mean, they've got every major league team there watching them, and these kids are 16 years old. And so, I'm sure that they were overexerting themselves a little bit, but sometimes when you cover Major League Baseball, and I will never go a day without feeling grateful for the job that I have and the industry that I'm in, but you get very caught up in a lot of things that are kind of silly. And then you get down to something like this, and you realize that there's just a lot of really good things being done, and a lot of nice kids out there that want to be professional baseball players, and it's pretty cool. And it was neat because Kim Ang was down there. I talked to her for a little bit. Of course, she's in charge of the whole like international process for Major League Baseball, and they're really trying to get Puerto Rico back in to the major leagues. It dried up through the 90s. There's different philosophies as to why that happened. And I'm not going to go into that right now, but the fact of the matter is that the population of Puerto Rican major leaguers has shrunk over time, and they're trying to reingrate, ingratiate them into baseball, and this is a great way to do it.
All right. Well, that sounds fascinating and really fun. And I feel like I wasted too much time watching football while you were doing all of that. So good. That was great. Would you go again, or I mean, if you were assigned to do, you would. But I mean, would you like, do people go, and if for like a bystander, is it worth doing anything, or are they even allowed?
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of weird because I was sort of trying to get information. Do I need a credential to come in? I never really got an answer on that, and the answer was no. I mean, it's a different world. I wore my MLB like shirt just to identify myself, but I think that you could probably just walk in, and there didn't seem to be like high security. I do want to say though, like I was nervous because I don't speak Spanish. I had this assignment. I have to say, Jesse Sanchez, who is a great friend, but also like an amazing MLB.com reporter who covers everything that has to do with like international baseball. So this is his beat. I was just subbing for him. But and so I was a little bit nervous just because I don't speak the language. In San Juan, of course, everybody speaks English. But the guy that I rented my rental car from, the rental car agent at Hertz, was a minor league teammate of Harold Reynolds in the Mariners organization. I was like, okay, this is going to be a good week.
All right. Well, I want to talk about a couple things that have been going on. The big news over the weekend was Chris Davis signing, but really the larger news has been how no hitters are actually signing at all. I think it's just there's been an uptick in intensity. They said that about Yiannis Cespedes, an uptick in intensity and activity in Cespedes, which I never quite know what that means, except for maybe like everybody called Ken Rosenthal and John Heyman and Jason Stark all at once. I'm curious. I don't know if you saw the numbers on Davis. That struck me as high.
Yeah, well, I think the word that people, I mean, what people are saying is basically that the Orioles are bidding against themselves this whole time. I mean, is there another team that was even in on him, like realistically?
I guess there was some talk. That's why they tried you could play the outfield thing, but I don't think anyone ever thought that the Cardinals were originally in on him, and I think have been gone for like a long time. You're right. I don't think there was anybody else, but there was this, and I get, if you're an Orioles fan, I mean, it was probably, there was a sense that that little run that they had was about to end. They were losing these guys and so on, and so maybe they're a little better next year. But I mean, in 4 years, man. I mean, Fangraph compared him to Ryan Howard in a way that was. Yeah,
Oui, oui.
right. Exactly. And so, except he's a little bit better defensive first baseman. So, there's that. But other than that, yeah, I have to say, it seems like a lot. But it's funny because one of the reasons it also seems like a lot is it kind of feels, and this there's been an ongoing thought process, that Suspettus is going to make less than people thought and Upton might make less than people thought. Do you think so? Like, it's late, man. It's like January 17th. It's January 18th. It's actually getting pretty late. All of the thing I usually do when I have travel around the basketball tournament or in late February is read those yearly magazines. Preview magazines that come out, they're going to be useless this year. They're going to have absolutely nothing in there at all. They're all going to be completely outdated. It's awful. Do you remember a time where it's been this late? Do you think it means anything? Or is it just people are just holding out for offers that may or may not be coming?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's late and I think it's odd. Is there any concern at all about Cespedes' health? I mean, do we do remember what was happening to him in his final at bat during the World Series, right? I mean, has anybody asked the question if that's like something that could be an issue? I don't know.
Maybe.
But I don't know. I was talking to somebody who is connected in baseball, very closely connected in baseball, and he says, I do not understand. To him, everyone's doing this backwards. To him, you invest in the hitter and you don't throw so much money at the pitcher who's going to be worthless in the last 3 years, whatever contract they're signing. And so I don't really understand what the deal is, except that all of a sudden people are like feeling conservative when all these pitchers just got all this money. I don't get. I mean, the money's there for a lot of teams to be spending. So you just wonder if there's something else to this.
Yeah, and also like the whole thing about pitching, I thought the market had like evolved now to where people had decided pitchers are fungible. You can find a 22-year-old kid that throws 100 and throws his arm out and he'll break in 3 years and then you'll go get another one. And so it seems weird. Maybe a guy that just will give you 200 innings is just so, like, look at the Cardinals. They signed Mike Leake, who was not, to me, strike me as the most exciting pitcher I've ever seen. But it seems like, that's what a guy that's a perfectly average pitcher that doesn't get hurt very often and is a little younger than your average pitcher in the market is worth. So I guess they're still trying to, but to me, that guy, I think it was Rosenthal had that the Orioles were considering offering Cespedes roughly what the Cardinals offered Leake. And I think the Cardinals overpaid for Leake, but that's still crazy. Like, you should not even get Cespedes close to that. And, like, do you agree? Like, it just seems, I feel like there's a little bit of thing. We went from people in August saying Cespedes should be the MVP to I just think he was a little bit of a bonehead a couple times in the playoffs, and people are remembering that. I think unfairly, but I think that I mean, he was so good last year. He had such a good year last year, but I think people are just remembering, how he probably really can't play center field. He makes kind of these dumb mistakes. When you saw him on that biggest stage, I think it kind of freaked people out that he wasn't that great.
Well, but you want to make a 7-year investment in that. I mean, and I think the answer is kind of no. And I think that the game continuing to be an extremely young man's game, maybe the teams just can foresee. I don't know, maybe having like 3 good years from a hitter is not as valuable as having 3 or 4 good years from a pitcher before it all goes to pot. I don't know. I just feel like the money is there for teams to be spending. I don't know. Is there any team that like needs them? Like not just could benefit from them, but absolutely like they have to have one of these guys or it makes a difference between them having a chance and not really being in the mix. I mean, is there a team?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like the Mets are like that, but apparently they can't buy the Mets. To me, they could really use Yoán Cespedes, and it's kind of strange that this big market team and whatever. I know that their finances are up for much discussion, but certainly to me, like Cespedes is obviously a great fit for the Mets.
Is he? But do they know more? I mean, that was the team he was with. Do they know something that we don't? They know more about Cespedes than we do, as far as the condition that he was in at the end of the season. I mean, there's always, I always think to myself, the teams know way more than I'm ever going to know, no matter how locked I am to this whole thing.
Yeah,
And
but
it
there's
makes
Justin Upton. There's Justin Upton too. Another person I thought, like,
sure.
there were some people I saw a, what's his name? Bowden, J Jim Bowden. I saw a Jim Bowden column, beginning of the offseason. And he actually asked a bunch of general managers. The Baseball Prospectus podcast talked about this. They asked a bunch of general managers who they thought would be a better investment or would make more money, Hayward or Upton. And they were like 50-50. And now Upton is just – I don't even know where Upton goes.
I mean, is he even in rumors?
Yeah, I feel like no one's talked about Upton in like 2 months.
Right.
I mean, people thought he was an MVP candidate.
Right.
And I saw one person toss out a potential offer. This is my favorite part that's so weird about this market. I saw someone throw out a potential offer for Justin that was roughly what BJ got.
Wow.
And it's like, wait, BJ Upton is horrible. Like, yeah. Justin Upton is really good.
Right, they're mixing up their Uptons.
Yeah. Or, I'm sorry, Melvin Upton Jr., whoever it is now. But right. The point is that, you know, there is – I just don't understand it. And I still feel like these guys are going to get paid. Like, someone's going to pay him. But you're right. Like, we're mid-January. Like, it's getting late. Spring training is actually not far from now.
Right.
It feels weird that this is still up. And I keep thinking, okay, this is the day it's going to come. This is the day it's all going to sign. I thought after Alex Gordon signed with Kansas City, which is kind of cool, by the way. Like, everyone assumed that wasn't going to happen.
Never happens.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool that happened.
Yeah.
Even though I wanted the Cardinals to sign him, I thought that made sense. It's perfect for him to stay in Kansas City. But I thought, okay, that'll get it going. That'll get the market going. And, okay, maybe Davis signing will get the market going. But I don't know, man. Like, it's getting so late now, I'm starting to think that, like, is someone just going to be like, you know what, I'll pay for $30 million for 1 year. And I'll go – because then, you know, next year's free agent market is not that great.
Right.
So maybe someone bets on themselves for a year. Maybe that happens. I don't know. But it just seems like it's getting late for a team to decide, I'm going to pay $200 million set for 7 years for any of these guys, even though a lot of us thought that's what the market was going to be at this point.
Especially this late when you're talking about teams that have their – I mean, they're sort of seeing the way that their team is going to look, and they have their payroll set, and maybe their owners are saying, okay, you're done. I mean, it gets to that point of the offseason that there's a risk that, you know, that the owner says, that's it, you know, let's go with what we have. So, and that's, you know, the owners dictate payrolls. It's not general managers.
Yeah. So, but of course, again, you know, this is on one hand, like I look at Davis and I think that's a lot of money for Davis. That seems too high. On the other hand, you know, I also always feel like I'd rather the money go to the players. like at a certain level, like, you know, if I'm not happy just as someone that feels like the market should favor the players more than the owners, that the idea that you can get Justin Upton for this short, it makes me nervous when I see everyone kind of coming together and not giving the money to these guys that they deserve. Like, Upton deserves like a big contract. I mean, it's funny, but I guess this is the weird part is Davis's contract is not far from Hayward's.
Right.
And I feel like Hayward's is like, whatever. I know Hayward is somewhat debated, but I don't see how you can argue that Davis is better than Hayward. And I guess
Davis.
29, 20. I think he's not that old. Like, he's still 29. Maybe he just turned 30 or is about to turn 30. He's not that old. But, you know, again, that's around the time that the Howard contract busted in. Like, the Howard thing would make me very nervous. But I don't know. It's just, it's very bizarre that it is this late. I assumed it's been a while. It's been too long, one might argue, since you and I have talked. And almost nothing has happened. Almost nothing has happened. So that's why. If a big thing would have happened, see, blame the owners for me and Allison not getting together before now.
Exactly.
Which brings me – yes?
No, that's it. I'm just laughing.
Well, that brings me to the thing that we should conclude on and the thing that I was requested the most for, hey, you and Allison need to talk about this. You guys need to talk. And it is, of course, Chris Correa. The Cardinals' former head of scouting being found guilty or pleading guilty. Of course, this took place at Houston. You know the reporters that were involved in that that covered that story better than I do. But he actually pled guilty. And when you looked at the details of that thing, if you remember when you and I both said this, and we were not the only ones, when this first thing happened, this thing first came out, it was like, oh, a couple of yokel knuckleheads were dorking around in Jupiter. And like, hey, let's play a prank on Lou now, ha ha ha! But that's not what it was at all. It actually,
let me just like state for the record that I did not ever believe that that's what was going on. That I always felt that it was higher up. So I was definitely not on board with these rogue. That's what the Cardinals were trying to put out there. These rogue, nerdy interns. I'm like, no, This came a little bit higher. I had no idea that
Yes.
it would be at that high.
And for the record, you're right. You didn't say that, but I said that often enough that people could have gotten confused. So, which is of course exactly the goal. So, but no, like it is. Not only was it a high up guy, but it actually was a little nefarious. There were actually a couple times where the Cardinals could have legitimately benefited, whether they did or whether they didn't. I don't know whether they did or they didn't. It doesn't really matter. The fact is it's again, I don't think it was some systematic thing. I don't think that the John Mozeliak was saying everyone go do this. I don't think that it was this top to bottom thing, but it wasn't just a bottom thing. Like Correa is a big deal and looks like he's gonna go to jail, which is
That's crazy. Because even,
that, yeah, that's what I want to ask. Do you think he should go to jail?
well, I mean, do I think he should go to jail?
We have
I guess.
two questions, and that's the first part. Do you think he should go to jail?
I guess so, right? I mean, this is I don't know. It seems like this whole thing seems so stupid. Like what he did was just so stupid, but this is against the law. I mean, there's definitely a legal penalty that has to be paid. I really did not think he would serve jail time. I thought, okay, they plead and they do all this crazy crap and he does community service and he's humiliated for life and he's put on a list and he's never gonna be able to work again. But I did not think that he was gonna be going to jail. So that like shook me. It really like when I David Barron, who's a fantastic Houston Chronicle reporter, and he was in the courtroom when this whole thing was going down and he was tweeting, live tweeting it. And I really it like made me like have to catch my breath when I was hearing when I was reading what was going on and the conversation that was being had. The fact that this scouting director from the St. Louis Cardinals could spend 2 to 3 years in jail, which is what Evan Drellick had reported today, blows my mind because I really thought that by doing this plea, and this is out of my really realm of comfort here, but that he would somehow avoid jail time. So that is insane. I am more interested in I guess, well, do you think you should, do you think he should go to jail?
I don't. I have to say, I don't. And oh, if he goes to jail, it should be like 6 months tops.
I mean, you
Like,
think that's what it would become, right? I
I
mean,
mean, th according to the Evangelist story, the plea deal calls for up to 5 years. The plea deal, like this, isn't like this crime can get up to 5 years. This
this
is
is
a,
insane.
yeah. I
Yeah,
have to
no,
say,
I'm like leaning toward like no. I mean, he's gonna go to jail with all those awful people. Oh.
Well, to be fair, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, this guy's going to jail, and I don't know, maybe because I saw The Big Short over the holidays, I'm like, no, those guys should be in jail. I have a hard time thinking this small time, like, when you think of corporate espionage and all the junk that those guys do, not to say this is acceptable in any way, shape, or form, but this does seem, I have to say, jail time seems extreme to me. But again,
Me too.
I mean, whatever. He took the deal, so he must have known something. So that brings to the second question, which I think is frankly for us a lot more interesting, though I feel bad for the guy either way. What should the Cardinals put? First off, do you think the Cardinals should be punished?
Yes.
Yes, and so do I. So do I. So he, so and I think we can. So let's talk this through, because I'm curious if we are on the same page or if we diverge, and if so, where. Do you think there should be a financial penalty?
Yes.
Okay, so do you have you thought of any possible number? Is there a
Well,
possible number?
no, because it can't go above like something stupid like 2 million, which is nothing for a team. So
Well, that's the question. Like that, I agree. 2 million is nothing. That's, I mean,
yes.
that's not for us. That would be pretty nice, actually.
There's
But yeah, that's for a team. That's nothing. They'll cough that out.
right.
But
That shouldn't be the only thing. But I mean, how do you not have I don't know, a financial penalty, like I don't know, I could say yes, I could say no. It to me it's meaningless either way. So fine if you want to slap him with a fine, then whatever, but that's like a half a season of a middle reliever. It really doesn't do anything for me either way.
so I assume then your actual thing is draft picks.
Yes.
Okay, now here's the question, because I agree. I think that it is okay, let's go the other direction then, because I've heard a couple people say there should be some sort of like postseason ban in like the NCAA or something. Do you agree
No.
with that?
No.
Okay, good. I agree. I'm with you as well. So, okay, so now we know where we are in the middle. So we're generally on the same page here. So draft pick wise, now what I think they should do, because I agree they should lose draft picks. I do not think they should lose this year's draft picks, which is what I've heard. Because the Cardinals have an extra couple draft picks this year, because they lost Hayward and they lost Lackey, so they actually have two extra draft picks. To me, that going after those specific draft picks is, I don't know. It depends how much you think the Cardinals will be punished. I would argue more that it should be future past this season, if just because it's freaking January and the draft is in 4 months. And two, we are still in the midst of the off season. Like the off, like they're not going to be able to. I mean, when it comes down to draft picks, to me, whether you think the Cardinals deserve this or whether you don't, it seems like it plunges a lot of things into chaos when we're still in the middle of the market to all of a sudden start taking draft picks away for this specific draft, which is frankly, I would argue, is one of the reasons that Mo Zalak, the Cardinals general manager, I think he suspects they're going to lose draft picks, but won't lose this year. I think he's trying to hoard them now because I think he thinks he's going to lose them. Because I think it's too. And maybe I'm wrong on this. And listen, Major League Baseball has many tentacled arms. I'm sure they could probably figure it out if they had to. But to me, because we still have draft picks moving around and we still have free agents that aren't been signed, and we're getting actually not too far away from the season starting, to me, taking those specific draft picks this year, I think is asking for trouble.
Well, okay. I can see that. I guess I could probably find that to be pretty reasonable, given the argument that you just gave. I would say that that is a pretty reasonable thing. And let me just say, I'm looking at this objectively, and no, I'm not a Cardinal hater. They annoy me, but this is totally different. So I really am looking at this completely objectively. When this whole thing first started, and I want to say this very clearly, my feeling was that they suspected that Jeff Luhnow had taken proprietary information, and they just broke into the system to try to find out if he did. And I felt that there was probably legitimacy on both sides of those, that possibly Jeff might have taken some stuff with him, and possibly that's what they were looking for. Okay, that all changed for me when I saw the report that the time, the dates that Correa broke into the system. Right as the trade deadline was happening, right before the draft, during the draft, and the fact that the Cardinals were picking before the Astros for 39 rounds,
Yeah, it's bad.
that blew my mind.
It's
I
bad.
am not being dramatic here when I say that changed my entire outlook on this whole thing. Because if you're trying to find out if he stole some crap from you 4 years ago, as he's cleaning out his office. And all of a sudden, you're looking to see strategically what this team is doing in the most crucial times of the year. I have a lot less sympathy from the Cardinal side to be because we don't know what Correa shared with the organization by just not necessarily saying, "Oh, look what happened when I broke into their system," but just saying, "Hey, I have this information," and what they were using that for, and if it was if it was making them draft different guys or what they looked at. I mean, it just
Now, to
it
be
blows
fair,
my mind. I'm
to be
truly
fair, to
speechless.
now to be fair, to be fair, if Major League Baseball thought that that was the case, then it feels like it doesn't look like anyone else other than Correa or the Cardinals organization. Like it doesn't look like they're gonna say, okay, if that happened, Mo Zalak's gotta go. Like as far as I'm concerned, if that happened, if that's actually what happened, then this is a big like. Of course, it's possible that all
You
that
mean
happened.
that they stole that they broke in at these particular specific times? Do you think Mozeliak has to go?
No. I'm saying the way that you're saying, if Major League Baseball does, because they're doing their own investigation, and if they determine that the things that you're speculating as possibilities actually did happen, or they have a suspicion that it happened, to me, Mozeliak's got to go.
The fact that he would share information
Yeah,
that
if he
might
actually if
be
they actually were systematically using this stuff. Right now, it does appear.
Even if they might not have known that that's how he was, they might not
That's
have.
fine. Okay, but that's my point though, is that
I don't believe that Mozeliak knew any of this.
Okay, so then to me, that makes then your speculation about that not matter as much, because or more accurate, that's not true. More accurately, what it does is it makes it punitive for future people to never do this, as opposed to punitive to what the Cardinals actually did, which is two separate things. It may be equal punishments, but I think Arthur, do you see what I mean?
There's no way to ever prove. There's no way to show if Correa shared any information with them or not. I mean, those are just John Mozeliak cannot go back in his memory bank and say, well, he had this opinion on this one particular guy. Maybe it was because of something that he, I mean, there's no way to be able to. I'm just saying that that's a chance
Yes,
that's definitely.
I agree that it's a chance. I agree that it's a chance.
All I'm saying is, like, if the dates, if they have proof of the dates that he was breaking into the system, and it's July 30th, July 31st, and June 5th, 6th, and 7th, then oh my God. And here, so okay, so to me, that is like they need to have a major punishment. Now, but here's my other problem. You cannot, as Major League Baseball, kill one of your franchises. And if you have a bad draft, it sets you back about 3 years. And that's not an exaggeration, even as well as the Cardinals draft, and even as as superior as they are in so many things, if you have one bad draft, that sets you back several years. And so how much punishment do you hand out to one of your important franchises on one of your important markets? So when you're Major League Baseball, do we punish you until it's detrimental to the Cardinals and therefore to Major League Baseball? Or do we punish you just enough to make it hurt, but not completely like eliminate you from the conversation for the next 6 to 7 years? And I don't know what the answer is to that. And I'm not saying that like one draft could just kill your franchise for that long, but there's a lot of really bad things that can happen. And I speak from experience because I watched the Astros do this, and they had like a couple bad drafts in a row, and that was all she wrote. And so I don't know. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think whether the Cardinals are an important franchise or not should matter. But and I suspect it wouldn't, but at least I hope it wouldn't. But to me, like, if I'll put it this way, if they were able to prove that the Cardinals systematically used this situation in an advantage way, as opposed to what they did could have given them an opportunity to it, and because the, and just because of the way it looks, we have to make sure nobody ever does this again, so we're going to punish them for that, as opposed to punishing them for we see what they did. And once it came up to the Astros pick, the Cardinals pick for the Astros, they're like, aha, we know this information because it was shared throughout. If they found any way, and listen, they seem to have done or be doing a pretty thorough investigation. The feds don't care whether Mosellac used that information, but Major League Baseball certainly does. So
I
if they can, maybe they don't care as much, but if Major League Baseball can find out that Mosellac used that information, the Cardinals use that information, and maybe they can't find it out. But if they can, to me, that is, and I say this as a Cardinal fan, and it breaks my heart to say it, that is a, yeah, we're going to mess up one of your drafts.
okay, I totally
Punishable type of thing.
I have to totally disagree with you on one thing. Like, I don't think that there's any investigation that needs to happen. If the dates that you have broken into that system are the dates that we just talked about, to me, that is an indication right there. There's no proof that you need beyond that. Like, if these guys were screwing around on March 27th,
Well, then why is no one else other than Correa taking the hit for this?
I
Like,
have.
is the idea that Mosellac just had no idea what was going on?
Oh, I don't think he had any idea what's going on. I'm just saying that Chris Correa breaking into the Astros system and these crucial dates, I don't need any proof beyond that there was only one reason why he was doing that. That was not to find out what Jeff Luhnow stole from them in 2011.
So
That's
that
it.
so then to me though, I mean, that sounds like a systematic thing. That sounds like to me, if I'm not, again, we'll see if they can prove that they've actually the Cardinals picked this guy rather than this guy, or so on.
You don't need to
Or
prove that.
I feel like you kind of have to prove that.
There's no way to prove that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe Correa said something in assessment. I don't know. Like,
We're not going to agree on this one
yeah,
because that, like, literally, like, those were the two times
I'm
that.
not defending the Cardinals here. What I'm saying is, I'm not defending the Cardinals, but what I'm saying is, if Mosellac is the guy in charge. He is the head of this big organization. Now, if we either can say Correa was the rogue agent, or Correa and his team, who are also, and the people that he worked directly under him, did this, and they are now excised from this, and we apologize, and we know that this is a big deal, and therefore we know we need a punishment to make sure that nobody else in the future does this. That is one thing. But if there is a, we actually see that they use this information, and it wasn't just this group of five people, but the fact that the Cardinals organization knew in total. To me, that is deserving of a kneecap. That is deserving, and I say that as a Cardinal fan, it makes me unhappy. That is deserving of wrecking one of the drafts. To me, and maybe they'll find that. Like, maybe they'll find that. But to me, if that happens, Mosellac's got to go too. And there does not seem to be a lot of movement from Major League Baseball or from the Cardinals toward. Like, I've got no sense that that's happening. Which makes me think that they are going to, their punishment for this will be less about what advantage the Cardinals did or did not get, and more about we need to make sure this never happens again. And I'm guessing that punishment is really harsh, but not the kneecapping of before. Do you think that's fair?
I think it's fair. It's just you, the one thing that you and I disagree on is that there needs to be proof beyond the dates that the system was broken into. And in my opinion, that is the proof. I don't need.
I guess it's not so much proof that, but it's proof that someone outside of Correa and his immediate team, anyone that was involved in knowing about that they had this information, they need to no longer be involved with the Cardinals or with Major League Baseball.
Well, I think that they eliminated the one person who had the information and was responsible for it. And that, when you have a scouting director, and they have so much information and they've got so much, from the cross checkers and everything, they're not like sitting down going, okay, where did you get this bit of information? Where'd you get that bit? It's just like we're having I mean, I've sat in on these meetings before. Like they evaluate and they discuss and discuss and discuss over and over and over again, but they're not keeping a list of like exactly where this information was obtained. So that's all I'm saying is like to me, July 30th, July 31st, June 5th, 6th, and 7th, that's all I need to know. That totally changes the entire tenor of this whole thing. It
Okay.
does.
So
It's
do you,
because this
so
whole thing that we thought was happening was because Jeff Luhnow took some things with him going on now 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. So it changed completely when it was like, oh, no, he actually broke in the day of the draft. So he's not looking for something that Jeff Luhnow did 3 years before. He's looking for what the Astros are thinking about right now. And whether that's like the kneecap, but you're saying that they would need to then investigate and find out if they use that information to be advantageous in the draft or at the trade deadline. And to me, there's no more proof that needs to be.
Okay, well then, if that's the case, I would argue that. Do you think it's like if you, but if you say Mosley like didn't know about it,
No.
then.
Think was John Mozeliak knew about any of this. I think Chris Correa comes into the room and he says, I think that, it's like now it's round three. And okay, well, let's go. Who are we gonna take? And they have the board and everything. Well, all of a sudden Correa is like, I want this guy. I think that, I talked to his agent, he's gonna sign, da 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 da. And then okay, let's make the decision right now. I mean, these things happen really fast. You don't
Yeah.
have a day to discuss it. And if he's bringing information that he's actually looking at what the Astros might be thinking and doing, he's not necessarily saying to Mo, here's like the stuff that I now know that I didn't know yesterday. I mean,
Right.
that's not what's happening. So.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying, and I think that one thing we can all finally agree on is that as punishment for the Cardinals, they should have to get Jason Hayward back, and he should play right field. And John Lackey should come back on the contract that he had last year. I think it's what they deserve. It's what they deserve. They broke the rules, and they therefore that's what they have to deal with.
I'm just looking at hotels to reserve in Chicago in October, so
Yeah,
that's
I know.
all
Hey, listen,
right.
you'll get no disagreement from me there. Sad to say. All right. Well, this was good. I think this was the spirited conversation that I think people were wanting
This is
from
awesome.
us on the old. Now I assume baseball fans, being the way they are, once the punishment is laid down, it'll never come up again, right? No one will ever. It'll just be gone. We'll all move on.
This is like just looking at this, like this is insane. Like every time this is an unbelievable thing that happened. I mean, and I know I'm saying it very simply, but this is absolutely an unbelievable thing that happened. And if this doesn't scare the living daylights out of every other team, and you wonder if this has actually happened,
Yeah.
because it looks like both teams are really, really bad at covering their tracks and
Yeah.
practicing password hygiene.
Yeah, I
So.
know. I know. I can't listen, I've changed all my Sign Hayward 2015 passwords. It's no longer Sign Hayward 2015 to all my email passwords. That's all been changed. All right, Alsa, it's good to be back. I'm glad we did this. We were overdue.
Me too.
Yes, we're gonna get back on a semi-regular basis once things get through. I am traveling a little bit. I have to go to I'm going to Iowa for the caucuses, and then I'm going to the Super Bowl,
Oh, fun.
and then that's it. And then I'm back on a regular schedule. So, but so we'll get back going. As anytime you will let me chat with you, I think we'll get back on the train.
Okay, anytime. I'm here.
All right. Well, thank you, of course, as always, to Allison for the Footer and Leach podcast. Follow her on Twitter at Allison Footer, AlysonFooter. And of course, read her work for MLB.com. We have much more to discuss. We didn't even talk about Hall of Fame, though. Really, that's just depressing. So we don't really need to get into that. So let's just, I mean, yeah, everyone just ends up yelling at each other.
No, I don't think there was any yelling, but we
Yeah.
can talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. All right. Take care, everyone. Thank you, Allison.
Thank
you. And be safe, everyone. This is the Willie's Experience Podcast, Footer Unleashed Edition. Please rate and review this on iTunes. Music is by the Sundogs. We'll be back very soon. Be safe out there.